Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid down daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked on alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. And I'm just simply going to go, quickly point some things out to you. This man was laid at the gate called Beautiful every day, and he was to ask alms of them that entered. And so when Peter and John came by, he asked alms of them. And Peter said, I don't have any alms, but such as I have. Such as I have. Amen. And I'm going to take this from a little different, not really a different perspective, but I'm going to throw a little twist on it. And I'm simply going to preach for a few minutes here tonight. What answer do you have for them? Amen. What answer do you have for them? Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. We've read a scripture, a series of scriptures that are familiar to all of us. We all know about the lame man that was laid at the gate called Beautiful, and we all know of how that Peter and John came by and offer him a miracle that he received, and he got up. The Bible says that Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Amen. At the hour of prayer. And let me just point out to you that there was a place and there was a time. Amen. There was a place and there was a time for the hour of prayer. And if you don't have a place and a time in your life, it probably is not happening. Amen. It's probably not happening. But because there was a place and because that there was a time designated and set, Peter and John attend this prayer meeting. Amen. Into the temple at the hour of prayer. I believe that's why prayer is so important. Amen. Prayer is so important. Number one, we cannot neglect prayer. And even having a Tuesday night prayer meeting, amen. Tuesday night prayer meeting is important, amen, for us to come together and to pray. This is the place and this is the time for us to pray and to seek the face of God. So the hour was the ninth hour. That was the morning time. But they're there and they are there to pray. And here is a certain man. In other words, not just any man, but it was the man that was expected to be there. It's the man that was there many, many times, every day, as a matter of fact, for probably multiple of years. He was born lame. And so here is a certain man. They probably might have even known his name. They probably knew his parents. He was a certain man, not just any man, but it was a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, who was carried upon a daily basis with an issue, with problems. He was carried there. And he was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to beg of alms, to ask of alms of all of those that entered into the temple. Why? Amen. Because that those that had issues, those that had such things such as this lameness, they were not allowed into the temple. They were not allowed to go in. They could see in. They could sit there all day long and they could hear what was coming from within. And they could look and ponder what was going on the inside. But they could never experience what was going on in the inside. And they were a burden, or they were beholden unto somebody else to take them to that place and to lay them there. Amen. They were a burden. They were a responsibility unto whomever that it was to bring them, his parents or somebody, to bring them and to put him at the gate called Beautiful so that he could ask of alms of all of those that would come in or come around. Praise God. I pray that is not a picture of us, not a picture of who that we are, that we are beholden unto somebody to carry us to the gate, and that's as far as you ever get. Too many apostolic, Pentecostals, Holy Ghost filled individuals, that's really as far as they ever get. They just get to the gate, amen, of worship, to the gate of beauty, the gate called Beautiful, amen. And the church is a beautiful, beautiful thing, but I feel that there's probably even some that sit on our pews and sit amongst us, amen, that they are invalids, amen, that they are beholden unto somebody to bring them to church. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about going and picking them up, amen, in a car and bringing them into the house and to set them, amen, on the pew somewhere. I'm talking spiritually, amen, that the only reason that you are here today is because that somebody, amen, has continued to carry you to the gate, amen, to the beautiful gate of the church. And not just that, but you're content with just receiving alms. Amen. You're not content. Amen. You don't have the blessings of God. You don't have the hand of God, the favor of God. You don't have all of that. You're just content just to sit there, amen, in a church service and just feel, just get, just what you can hear that's going on from deep within because of situations in our life. We're not allowed to go into that deep area. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Don't ever, ever, ever expect to be called into that place of intercession if you can't be faithful, amen, in a place of thanksgiving. Don't ever expect to be called into that place of intercession, amen, if you can't, amen, be faithful to a place of just prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 It is only those that are faithful in such areas that God beckons to come on in deeper into the place. And this man was content with somebody else carrying him every day. Somebody coming by and picking him up. Somebody carrying him to the gate. Somebody setting him down. Somebody else putting stuff in his cup. Somebody coming by in the evening time and picking him up. Somebody carrying him home and putting him to bed. He was content with this. Amen. And some people could say, well, he probably wasn't content. Amen. That's just the way that he was born. That's just the way that he was. Amen. But in the spiritual world, this is how, amen, that it is. There was an answer. And when this man began to reach out to Peter and to John, and he thinking what the answer was, just a few more hours
alms in my cup, amen, to suffice and to get me through and to pay some bills or to pay the caretakers, hallelujah, then I'm going to be okay. And so he looks upon Peter and John, and he asks them, he tells them, I need an answer, amen, I need some alms here today. And Peter and John reached down into their pockets, and knowing that there was nothing there, amen, they didn't have what this man proclaimed that he needed, but they did have something else. They had the answer to his predicament. They had the answer to his situation. They had the answer, amen, to his problems. They had the answer to his lifelong situation. And reaching out to this man, they say unto him, silver and gold have I none, but I do have an answer for you. Such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately this young man stood to his feet, and strength came into his ankle bones, and he began to run and began to leap into a place that he had never been before, experiencing things that he had never experienced before, feeling things that he had never felt before, hearing things that he had never heard before, but there was something that was different. Amen. He was offered an answer, and he chose to accept the answer. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And they reached out to him. Amen. He could have said, no, thank you. All I got just here is some cups. Amen. But he reached out and he accepted the. I've got a question here for you tonight. What answer do you have for your co-workers? What answer do you have for your lost family? What answer do you have, amen, for your friends? What answer do you have for your neighbors? What answer do you have for your boss? What answer do you have for the Sunday school children? What answer do you have for this lost and sin-sick world? I've got an answer for them, and the answer is Jesus Christ. How do I know he's the answer? Because I've experienced the answer. I received the Holy Ghost. I got a testimony. I said I've got a testimony of what God has done for me. Praise God. Amen. We talked last night about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that it is God in us, the Spirit of God dwelling within us. As Jesus said that he was going away, but that he would not leave them comfortless, but he would send the Comforter. Amen. But the Father would send the Comforter in his name. Amen. Hallelujah. And that he would dwell inside of us. And so if you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's not just an icky, gicky, gooey feeling that you got on the inside. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling that you have on the inside when everything is just going perfectly right. No, 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 no. It is Jesus Christ, God. Amen. It is God living on the inside of you. It's not God living in a tabernacle somewhere. It's not God out in the wilderness somewhere. When the day of Pentecost was fully come and they received the Holy Ghost, there appeared above each and every one of them, amen, a pillar of fire that sat above them. It signified, hey, God is inside this vessel. And when they came out of that upper room, and Peter began to preach unto them, and they pricked in their heart, they said, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter had an answer for them. He said, the answer is repent. The answer is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you too can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You too can have the power and the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but I haven't found a place in my Bible where the Lord lost. I haven't found a place in my Bible, amen, where God came up short somewhere, where God wasn't victorious. We're talking about the all-time champion. Hallelujah. If you failed, it wasn't God's fault. Amen. If I failed, it wasn't God's fault. Hallelujah. It's because that God won't dwell in an unclean temple, and I didn't get myself cleaned out. Amen. I associated myself, amen, with the wrong people and with the wrong environment. But every time I come back to God, the Bible says He is just and able to forgive us of our sins. I can come boldly before the throne of God and I can say, hey, Jesus, I need an answer today. I need you to wash me. And He is just and able to forgive us of all of our sins. And so it doesn't matter what I face. It doesn't matter what I go through. Amen. I've got an answer. And because that I've got an answer, I've got a testimony. I can tell somebody. I know exactly where you are. Because I used to be in the same situation. I used to be a rebellious teenager. I used to be messed up. And some of you can say, I used to be hooked on drugs. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a dope smoker. I used to be all of those things. But one day somebody came and took me from the gate of beautiful with an answer. And I got to go into the church. And when I got into the church, I found something that I never thought that I would experience. I got a revelation. I got an answer. I got a touch. I got the Holy Ghost. And I've never, ever been the same again. I'm not a spectator at the church anymore. Amen. Looking through the doors. Looking through the spiritual doors. Wishing that I could participate in that. Amen. I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I'm not broken anymore. I've been healed. I'm not an invalid anymore. I've been raised. I'm not messed up anymore. I've been put together. And I can come boldly before the throne of God. And I can worship the Lord. Why do you worship the way that you worship? I remember where He brought me from. I know what God has done for me. I got a testimony of what God has kept me from. And that answer is sufficient for you too as well. Let's magnify Him today. Praise the Lord. What a treasure. What a treasure that Peter would be able to say, such as I have. Brother Gavin, I can't give you anything that I don't have. That'd kind of be like theft or something. I can't give it to you if I don't have it. I can't offer you freedom if I don't have freedom. I can't express to you and give and offer you liberty if I don't have liberty. I can't tell you, amen, about the goodness of God and about how that God is able to keep me, amen, if I'm not able to be kept. God is able to keep us from all situations. The book of Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. From falling. Some of us have got this revelation. Amen. Though I fall 7 times, I'm going to get back up. He will keep you from falling 1 time. You don't have to fall. I'm not saying that you're perfect and that you're not going to fall. Amen. But when you do fall, you can get back up. But the Holy Ghost that I got, amen, keeps me from falling. If I don't want to fall, I don't have to fall, Brother Worse. I don't like falling. The older I get, the less I like falling. Amen. As I've grown tall and fat and old, amen, it hurts falling. I don't want to fall. And spiritually, that's the same way. I don't care to fall and scrape my knees up. I want to be able to say, amen, God help me, and I got through that one too. And God help me here, and I got through that one too. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
What a treasure. What a treasure. The power of the Holy Ghost that is able to keep us from falling. Amen. Now, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Woo! Brother Keith, I got the Holy Ghost. I got this treasure in an earthen vessel. I'm not glorified spiritually. I'm not some, amen, spiritual. I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm just humanity. But Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In earthen vessels. Paul was writing unto, I'm going to say it was Timothy. And Paul was writing to Timothy, and he told, yeah, because he told him, he said, amen, that the gift was given to him, and talked to him about his grandmother's, amen, Lois's unfeigned faith. And so writing to Timothy, he talked to him about this, this gift that was given to him by the laying on of hands. Hey man, they had not received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter number 8 until Paul, hey man, until Peter and the other disciples got there. But the Bible said they laid hands on them and they received the treasure. They received the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is writing unto Timothy, and he tells him, hey man, your grandmother had such great faith, and that's been passed down to you. Hey man, and this gift has been given unto you through the laying on of hands. What a treasure. But he didn't stop there. Hey man, he said, Timothy, you need to stir up the gift that is inside of you. You're not going to stir up the gift, hey man, just being a lame man at the gate sitting there. You're not going to stir up the gift, hey man, just being a hearer, hey man, and sitting on a pew somewhere. It behooves you to get up and to stir that gift up. What is covering that gift? Humanity, dirt, flesh, ego, pride, hey man, and all of those other things. Get into, and you got to dig that treasure out of there. Why won't a man worship God? I'll give you two reasons why a person won't worship God. Number one, they're too full of pride. Number two, they're too full of sin. And pride and sin basically is the same thing. Amen. There cannot be contention except by pride. Amen. Oh, glory to God. But when you got the Holy Ghost, it'll get you to do some things that you never thought that you would do. I'm not talking about just worshiping. I'm talking about reaching out to somebody and saying, hey, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee.
Well, I really wish that I could help you. I mean, it sounds like you've got a sad story. I wish there was something that I could do, but you know, I tell you what, we'll just put on sackcloth and ashes. I'm talking about Job's friends. There's a difference in Job's friends and the lame man's friend. Job's friends like, scoot over, buddy. We'll just sit here and cry together a little bit. But oh, Peter said, I don't have time for all of that. I got an answer for you. I want to know, what answer do you have for this world? Amen. Sister Stacy was telling us of a testimony that she was witnessing to a lady. I believe it was Monday or maybe Tuesday. One of those 2 days, she's witnessing to a lady. Amen. And she said, look, I've been in that same position, but it was God that helped me get through a lot of all of that. What answer do you have, amen, for those that are around you that are broken, that are lame, amen, that are in need? Every day
day when you go to work, amen, you are surrounded, amen, by this type of mentality, amen, and there they are, and they're hurting, and their wife or their husband has left them, and their kids maybe have ran away, or their kids are just rebellious, and the list just goes on and on and on and on. Kids are getting in trouble with the police, and the list just keeps going and going, and you said, well, you know what, I'm sorry, you know, I'll pray for you. That's a pretty good answer. But when you can say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to tell you right now, your answer is God. Well, how are you so sure to say that? Because I've sat in that same place before. I've been at the bottom before. And I may not have the exact same story that you had, but oh, let me tell you where I was. When I was invited to church, I thought I was going to get some type of handout. And I got more than a handout. I went in there, and I'm telling you what, I thought that they were crazy. But I understood why at the end. Because they were just as I was. Amen. And they were just broken relics, just like I was. Oh, but in their brokenness, they came to and they went down to an altar. And God forgave them of their sins and filled them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I felt the compelling of that. I remember when I went down to an altar and I prayed there and God filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Oh yeah. I don't have time to tell you everything that I did, and I was going the wrong way fast in a super bad hurry. And the grace of God came and delivered me and helped me. Amen. The preacher came down and he asked me if I wanted the Holy Ghost. And I knew I wanted the Holy Ghost. I just wasn't sure I wanted it then. But I did. I went down to the front and I got prayed for. I repented of my sins, got prayed for, and I got the Holy Ghost, amen, at 14 years of age. And I want you to know the foul mouth quit, amen, and all the other stuff quit, because there was something that was supernaturally powerful about the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. And so, Paul told Timothy, he said, hey, you know what? When you think, you know, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I just don't know that I'm going to get through all of this. I just have my doubts. Confusion precedes deception. And God's not the author of confusion. But confusion precedes deception. And deception is an extremely powerful tool that the enemy has. And so you get into that place of I'm confused. Well, I can tell you right now, you're not sitting near to God. Because God's not the author of confusion. If you're confused, you get up and change seats. Do something. But don't just sit there. Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Stir up the gift. And this humanity that we are and have, we're just glorified dirt balls. And that's that carnal man that's covering up the gift. And that's emotions and feelings and carnalities and sins and weaknesses and the love of the world and all that that's covering up the gift. And Paul said, stir up the gift. In other words, Garrett ain't here now. He's back there. I ain't going back there. This is not Paul jerking him up. Swinging him around and around and around and around, saying, come on, boy, we got to stir this gift up. No. Somewhere or another, you got to take the responsibility upon yourself. Henry, you're not going to get the Holy Ghost because that I want you to get the Holy Ghost. You're going to get the Holy Ghost because you want to get the Holy Ghost. If everybody in here wants Henry to get the Holy Ghost, he's in a good spot. But we can want all that we want, but until he decides that that's what he wants, it ain't going to happen. I'm just using him as an example because Garrett ain't up here today. Garrett's going to start sitting back there. I'll come get you back there. Stir up the gift. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we got to stir this gift up. Our character, our issues, our shortcomings, covering up the gift, the treasure that we had. David said, my feet had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I saw everybody else getting away with it. I saw everybody else, amen, getting rich. I saw everybody else getting the good jobs. I saw everybody else making it. And here I was struggling to get by. My feet had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Until I came into the house of God. Then I understood therein. Now, I'm just going to read to you what I wrote on my little notes right here, okay? All right? The little notes that I got when I opened the church door and came in. All right? I said, coming to church ought to bring revelation of what backsliding will do and how much blessing is really in the house of God. You're not going to get that revelation staying on the outside. You're not going to get that revelation missing church. You're not going to get that feeling of I'm an overcomer. You're not going to get that feeling I can make it by staying away. You're not going to get that feeling. You're not going to make it. Amen. But you know what you can do? There's not enough devils in hell that can prevent an individual from coming to church. Nobody made me come to church, and nobody kept me from coming to church. I'm here because I wanted to come to church. Woo! And when I get here, I may have come in a little beat down. Because we are in the world. Yeah? Yeah. And you're fighting an inundated, you know, just constant spirits all the time. All the time. Without and within. From the front, from the back, everywhere. You're fighting these spirits. And listen, if you stay away from church, you're going to succumb to that. But let me tell you what happens when you get to church. Come here, Brother Joshua.
Praise God. How are you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm well.
This man never ceases to smile. And he seems always happy. And he may not be happy, but I'm telling you, when I shake his hand, I just get happy and I get a smile. And that's just not the end. I see everybody else that's coming to the house of God. And I see the sacrifices that everybody else is making. And I see the faithfulness of everybody else coming. I see everybody else relying on the treasure, Brother Keith. And I think to myself, I got the same thing. And you know what? If they can make it, I can make it. And it's not because I'm any better than anybody here. Amen. It's just that we all got the treasure.
And when the visitor comes in on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night, and they're looking for the answer, hey man, what are we going to do? Sit down and say, I don't have the answer, but maybe we can both beg a little bit. Hey man, or is somebody going to get up and express themselves? I got the answer. I got the Holy Ghost. Hey man, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's stand and magnify God here tonight.
Let me finish my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Did you hear that? It said, if our gospel be hid, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But if this gospel be hid, it's buried and covered up by issues. But Paul's got the answer here. He said, this is the answer. Oh, I get excited. For we preach not ourselves, because it's not me. We preach not ourselves. Hallelujah, but what did he say? But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. I got an answer. I got an answer. Hallelujah, answer's not me. Amen, the answer, amen. Amen, isn't self-help books. The answer is Jesus Christ. Woo! To whom God would make known. In other words, somebody had a question. Somebody needed an answer. He said, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not me. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. Let me turn that all around. It's not me. It's Christ in me. Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing in me. He said, without God, amen, it's impossible. Amen. It's not in me. It's not me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Brother Cowan, I just don't see how you can make it all the time. I can't. I can't. I get just as frustrated as you do. I get just as down as you do. I get discouraged just like you do. But friend, you got to keep stirring that gift up. Amen. The joy of the Holy Ghost. You got to keep back down there visiting the altar. And when you get in constant fellowship and communion with Him, you feel the power and the surge coming. Amen. And the Holy Ghost inside of you just begins to bubble up. Amen. And begins to express itself. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen. The hope of glory. I don't have hope outside of Jesus Christ. I don't have hope in this world. If I had hope in this world only, I would be of all men most miserable. But I've got hope in Him. I've got hope in Jesus Christ. He's my answer. Every morning I wake up and say, God, my hope is in you. If I make it through this day, God, it's because of you. It's not because of my good doings. It's because of you. It's because of you. It's because of you. Praise God. Praise God. One more. One more. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Woo! This is where you got to get. You got to get this. You got to get this. Otherwise, you're going to falter and fail. But you got to get this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto
salvation. It'll set me free. It'll set you free. It'll set the world free. I'm not ashamed of this. Amen. It's what's got me this far. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. Amen. It's been my hope through all of these 30 plus years. Amen. Have I failed? Have I faltered? Yes. But I have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And he is the propitiation for all of my sins. And I come back to him. Amen. Because why? Because he is the answer. Do you got an answer tonight? What answer do you have tonight? Amen. Maybe you need a refreshing. Maybe you need a touch. Amen. Maybe you need to stir up that gift. These altars are open here tonight. I'm inviting you to come. Amen. Come up here and make your calling and election sure. You know that this is what's right. You know that the power, this is where the power is. You know that it's going to bring deliverance and liberty. You've experienced it before. You're in the right place at the right time. Amen. And we've got a God, amen, that is just and faithful. And he will help you today. Come on, maybe you just need to stir up that gift. Amen. Maybe you need to stir up that